I'm joined today by Professor David Jones, Director for the Centre of Bioethics and Emerging Technologies at St Mary's University College, Twickenham. Now, we're going to be talking about a new Vatican document called Dignitas Personae. Now, this is a bioethical document, Professor Jones, but there's no real new church teaching in there as such. So tell us a little bit about what's contained within and how useful it is to us.
Well, something that listeners may be interested in, if you ever hear the title of a Vatican document, the title is always the first two words or the first three words of the first sentence of the document. And the first sentence of the document is, "The dignity of a person must be recognised in every human being from conception to natural death." And that's the focus of the document. The focus of the document is about the dignity of the person, but in particular, the dignity of human embryos, and how this should be respected and sometimes hasn't been respected in areas of research and fertility treatment.
Now, it's a bit of a hot topic in this country when we consider through 2007 the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Bill with regard to hybrid embryos and many issues that make people feel a little uneasy. And although we have church teaching, we've had church teaching for centuries, it's now being applied to these rather complex areas. How useful is this document to us when we talk about embryos?
I think you're exactly right that this brings together a lot of teaching, some of which people would think it's not so new, but it's very useful to have it all in the one document. And it has actually applied teaching to some areas where we've never had any official teaching before, because simply they're new areas. So people just hadn't thought of mixing an animal and a human being to create a hybrid embryo. It wasn't on the radar, as it were. Whereas now that the question has come up, individual bishops have spoken about it, but this is the first time that the Vatican has said in a document, no, this is a contradiction to human dignity. This is a step too far. We shouldn't be doing this. And on other issues too, like cloning or genetic engineering, the church's teaching has been summed up and presented in a way that people have somewhere to go if they want to know what the church thinks.
We had Donum Vitae in 1987, nearly 20 years ago now. So this is a necessary update in your mind?
Oh, absolutely, because just as the law in this country has changed, I'm not in favour of everything which is in the law by a long chalk, but I do recognise that there was a need to change the law, because you can't have a law in an area which is rapidly changing, where the scientific advances or the scientific research and wishes for advances changes every year, every couple of years. Teaching can't stand still, and the teaching has to be applied, even if the principles remain the same, it has to be applied to new situations, to new science, to new questions in society and law, and that's precisely what this document does.
Now, we have written here that the human embryo has full anthropological and ethical status. Explain that a bit to me.
Well, the document, right from the very first words, the key point of the document was to give to the human embryo the full status of its humanity. It's not that there's all the difference in the world between the human embryo and an embryo of a different species. It is the first stage of the life of you or me. That's how we started. And that to destroy human embryos is to destroy embryonic human beings. It's the first stage of life of a human being. So it's a wish to emphasise that human embryos are human, they have a human dignity, and they're part of a personal reality. It's not just an impersonal way in which life is transmitted. It is the beginning of a person, even if it's just the beginning. That's one principle, is the importance of the embryo. But there are other principles too. The principle with regard to fertility treatment, that fertility treatment should also respect the dignity of human sexual love and procreation as the fruit of love, rather than as something that happens in the laboratory. And also there are principles about distributive justice, about distributing the fruits of research. So there's not just one principle. And when it comes to science, this document is not against scientific research. It's strongly in favour of various kinds of scientific research into adult stem cells, into the causes of infertility, into every avenue which can be legitimately and ethically explored for the benefit of humankind. Science is a good thing for the benefit of human science if it's pursued well. So the document doesn't exclude everything. It tries to distinguish between those things which are good, which are to be encouraged, and those things which are unethical, which are beyond the ethical limits of science.
Well, people often have the perception that the church commands from on high. You can't engage in IVF. A great many issues concerning the bioethical subjects we're talking about here. But this document, to me, shows far more of an engagement than we've perhaps seen in the past, an engagement with science. And as you say, it's not anti-science by any means. And a quote I've got here, "The church views scientific research with hope and desires that many Christians will dedicate themselves to the process of biomedicine and will bear witness to their faith in this field." Now, that's pretty encouraging, isn't it?
Oh, I think absolutely. At a time when the government is lamenting not enough people going into science, they're choosing easier subjects. The church is very strongly saying science can be a way to contribute to the common good. Science, at its best, is a way to holiness. Science is something that Christians can and should engage with, not just Christians, which all people of goodwill should engage with for the sake of the benefits which can come from it. But just like all activities, it should be done in an ethical way, that you can't just think, oh, for the final fruits which might come a long time in the future, we can make compromises now. We must be ethical now as well as in the future. But science is strongly supported by this document, so long as it's ethical science.